the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Talk on this Friday afternoon. I'm John Wilkerson, and we are at Food City, 121 North Hall Road in Alcoa for the Big Ticket. It is brought to you by Food City. It's your opportunity to come by, see the keyword. We have it on our table, and we have a fine individual that right now is currently texting that in to 68683, and they will have a chance to be one of two finalists from today's registration. Next week, the grand prize will be given away, and somebody will have season tickets, Tennessee football, Vols and Lady Vols basketball, Tennessee softball, Tennessee baseball, the Titans, Ice Bears, and more. And, of course, you get one entry per remote, one qualifier per household. You must be 18 or older to participate. But today, Jimmy Hyams, it is another full afternoon, and we're excited to be at Food City as a out here in Alcoa is where I am. Yesterday, you were over at Love's Creek.
I was. And the one thing that you got to love about Food City, you will not find better certified Angus beef. They have got that there. They've got a wonderful selection of seafood. They also have no-contact shopping. You can order online, pick up curbside with the go-kart curbside pickup. But they also have a fantastic bakery. You want to check that out. They can fix so many things there. And they also have great specials on ribeye, on salmon, on ice cream as well. So all of that at Food City.
So we invite you to join us this afternoon, and we have a lot coming your way. We look forward to being joined by Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps a little bit later this hour. We also have Farragut football coach Eddie Courtney to join us to start hour number two of the program. Carson Newman golf coach Randy Wiley will be on board with us at 4:35. And we have Steve Matthews, Catholic head coach, to join us at 6:15 after the Sports Fix at 6. And then, of course, it wouldn't be officially a week of Sports Talk this summer without Steve Hamer, the VFL, an all-around great guy, joining us for Hamer Time. All that and more today on Sports Talk.
We'll go ahead and get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people you can trust. The SEC has come out with some protocols, and not surprising, they want coaches to wear a mask on the sideline, and all players that are not participating at that point or all of the personnel to wear a mask on the sidelines or some type of a neck gaiter. They also want testing done at least two, if not three, per week. And here's the deal. If you play on a Saturday, they want testing on Sunday. And if you play the next Saturday, they want testing on Wednesday. They're also considering testing before kickoff. They're going to have a third party to do the testing. And any positive test triggers a 14-day quarantine by that particular player. They also will have a COVID compliance officer involved with that. And the thing that I'm curious about is that if you do have a player that tests positive, what about contact tracing? That's going to be interesting to see. But they want contact tracing. They want this is what could end up causing a game to be canceled or postponed. The inability to isolate or quarantine the students at high risk. Also, if you can't perform the needed testing, if there is campus or community test rates that are unsafe, a lack of contact tracing, and overflow at hospitals where they cannot accommodate a surge, those things will lead to it. Now, the SEC has recommended the schools also be attentive to any mental well-being of the student-athletes. And, John, we keep looking for this. Is the SEC going to release its non-conference schedule this afternoon? Philip Fulmer said in our interview last Friday that it would be this week. I've tried to check on that. I've got nobody to confirm that they are going to release it today unless I've missed something. But I've been looking for it. So I'm gonna be curious to see what happens. I have been told already that some schools have complained. Imagine that.
Yeah, but, imagine that.
Yeah, so anyway, that's kind of where we are. But I've seen nothing on the schedule coming out. Maybe it'll come out this afternoon. I got a kick out of Vince Ferrar. He mentioned earlier this week, he said they're going to announce it at 7:02 Friday night. That's when they'll come out with it.
And that way I think it'll be 6:59, yeah. Jimmy.
Just in time to screw us up.
Yes.
We know it's a conspiracy. All right, a few other notes. A number of college football players are opting out, including Purdue wide receiver Rondale Moore, Auburn linebacker Chandler Wooten, who is expecting to be a father soon, Maryland quarterback Josh Jackson, who was a Virginia Tech transfer, Michigan State offensive lineman Jordan Reed, also opting out. There are probably around 20 college players that have opted out. Many of them are from smaller schools that are not well-known players, but a lot of them are opting out. So we'll see. As far as the NFL, while we're on that subject, 66 ended up opting out. John, I thought this was interesting. 20 offensive linemen, 11 defensive linemen, 31 of the 66 that opted out, linemen. And I can understand that because you're right there in the trenches, and there's no way, obviously, to avoid contact in the situation like that. So 8 for New England, 0 opting out for Atlanta, Pittsburgh, or the Chargers. 0. And then the Bills corner, yeah, Tre'Darius White has opted to play. There had been some discussion about whether or not he would or wouldn't. A few other notes out there. The PGA tournament going on. So yesterday, Tiger Woods shot 2 under par. He shot a 68. That was his best score in a major going back to 2012. So he had a very solid first outing. But the story of today is Lee Hutong. 8 under par for the tournament. He was 5 under par today. He's in the clubhouse, and he has got a 3-shot lead. Tommy Fleetwood's playing really well. He's 5 under today through 14. Paul Casey is also 5 under for the tournament. Brendan Todd at 5 under. He is on the course. He is actually, this is interesting, the golf season. Now, the golf season starts in like November of last year. Brendan Todd has led in more rounds than any other golfer during that time. He's had a couple of wins. He's not been able to hold some 54-hole leads, but he's had the lead more often. Jason Day tees off in a little bit. He's also at 5 under par. And this was a couple of interesting notes about it. So Brooks Koepka, the defending two-time champ, is 4 under par. He tees off at 436. Justin Rose shot 4 under par and hit 3 fairways. How do you do that? Bryson DeChambeau shot 68 yesterday. He broke his driver after he hit a drive. He leaned on the driver to reach down and pick up his tee. The driver head broke off of the shaft. He had another shaft, so he was allowed to go get another shaft to screw back onto the driver. And I don't know how much stock to put in this, but before he broke the driver, his driving average distance was 320.5. Afterward, it was 339.5. Now, before you make a blanket statement said, man, he averaged 20 yards more per drive, I know that. But he also had a couple of those longer drives with the new shaft with the wind behind him. The other thing to consider, how many of those were dog legs? How many of those were shots where he elected not to, to try to power it through a particular fairway or whatever? So it's an interesting stat. I don't know if it's 100% accurate just because I know that some of those longer drives were wind-aided. But anyway, DeChambeau out there powering through with a very solid first day. 27 of the 78 players that teed off in the morning yesterday were under par. The conditions were certainly much better. And here's the stat I thought was really interesting to tell you the importance of hitting fairways. The threesome of Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, when they hit the fairway, they were 100% in greens and regulations. When they didn't hit the fairway, 50%. That's how much difference it makes. So, and then Justin Thomas lost a ball in the tree. They've got these cypress trees out there, and they will gobble up golf balls. You hit one up in there, don't always expect it to come out. So he hit one up in the trees. It didn't come out. He made double bogey. He made 2 double bogeys, in fact, during the course of his round. All right, a few other notes. We'll get to the Mountain West. Their players also citing the need for safety demands, just like the Big Ten and the Pac-12, except they did not demand revenue and to get paid. Most of the demands, the Mountain West said, have already been addressed. Former Lady Vol Sierra Burdick is returned to the WNBA. She's with Las Vegas. The Florida governor says that he wants to demand that Florida and Florida State play. Now, right now, the SEC has said they're not going to play a non-conference game. The ACC says they're going with a plus one. Florida State's schedule right now has them playing against Sanford. But the governor wants to demand that Florida and Florida State play. I don't think he's going to get his wish on that one. But anyway, he's in the middle of that saying that he thinks they ought to play, and he wants to demand that they do. Notre Dame and Navy, they're not playing this year. It's the first time in 93 years those teams will not play in a season. More bad news in Major League Baseball. St. Louis and the Cubs, they have postponed their game for today. Somebody else with St. Louis tested positive. That's now 21 games that have been postponed due to the virus. So an awful lot right there. And then a couple of other notes to pass along. The NCAA is yet to rule on the Maryland transfer quarterback, Tuilolo Tagovailoa, the younger brother of Tua, transferred from Alabama to Maryland. He's still waiting to hear. Also, the NCAA has said there are no fall sports championships if less than 50% of participants actually play. Well, the FCS is now below that threshold, John. The Pioneer League is canceled. The Big Sky is eyeing spring football, but they have dropped below that, so it looks like there will be no championships on the FCS level because they don't have enough participants. They don't have at least 50% that are going to be playing. All right, a couple of other notes. Jim Harbaugh with Michigan has accused Ohio State of cheating. He said there are photographs that show that there were premature coaching was going on with field instruction. Ryan Day, Ohio State coach, quote, "I'll worry about my team, you worry about yours." Close quote. How about that? So,
well, then there was a follow-up because when he talked to his team, Day said to the Buckeyes, he better hope that there's a mercy rule when we meet this fall because we're going to hang 100 on them.
Really? I didn't see that quote. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to like it.
Yes.
I guess good thing those coaches are socially distanced. They might get into a little fisticuffs.
Very much so.
The Predators got a must-win situation. They take on the Coyotes, and it's Coyotes lead 2-1. So we'll see what transpires with that one. Vic Beasley, Titans linebacker, reporting this morning, 10 days after he was supposed to. He went through his COVID testing, fined $500,000. Wow. You wonder what kept him away.
Yeah, it will be something to see exactly what happens. And, it was $50,000 a day for as long as he was gone, 10 days, half a mil.
Yeah, that'll hit you in the pocket even if you are making a lot of money. That's a pretty considerable amount that he has lost. So another NBA note, Zion Williamson is going to sit out tonight's game, which is kind of interesting. He hadn't been playing that many minutes, but I guess they don't want him playing. I don't know if that's back-to-back-to-back games, but they don't want him playing tonight. They're trying to rest him. So I don't know if you'd say they're being overly cautious or they're doing the exact right thing. And then New York Giants defensive back DeAndre Baker, he's a product of Georgia. He is actually charged with armed robbery and 4 of the counts from a Florida incident. If convicted, he gets a minimum of 10 years. And that's 10 years to life is what he would serve. So who knows what happened. He's declared his innocence. Not sure exactly what transpired, but an ugly situation with DeAndre Baker. Boy, wouldn't want to be in issues right now. So those are our news and notes, John, brought to you by Image Matters.
And we can tell you that it's Arizona leading today, 1-0 after 1 against the Predators. It is a must-win for Nashville if they hope to keep that series going. But we will get a break again today. Jimmy Hyams is in his super secret location. I am at Food City in Alcoa, 121 North Hall Road. We have the key word that you can come by. It's set up right on the table where I am seated. You find out what that word is. You text it to 68683. You have to do that before 7 o'clock, and you could be one of 2 finalists from today's registration. Again, the grand prize will be given away next week. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. That's how you join Sports Talk.
99.1 The Sports Animal. Just because your workday is boring doesn't mean your radio station has to be. We'll be right back.
Sports Talk continues today at Food City as part of the Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City. Come by, find out the keyword that we have sitting on the table where we are set up, and you can text that into 68683. That text has to be in before 7 o'clock, and you'll be registered. And who knows, you could be one of two qualifiers from today's registration as we give away the grand prize next week. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. Let's say hello to Alan. You're on Sports Talk. Good afternoon.
Hey, John, Jimmy, how are you guys?
Doing well, and yourself?
I'm good. I'm going to give you the stats fix at 3. Doesn't rhyme.
Okay.
So this is to think about the impact of testing and false positives on player eligibility. All right?
Okay.
And I'm gonna oversimplify it since we're on the radio. But let's assume that a certain area has about a 1% positive rate of COVID, which, yeah, that's probably a reasonable number. At any point in time, 1 out of 100 people got it. And let's assume we do a test, and it's got a 1% false positive rate. All right? You ready?
Okay.
So let's test 100 football players. What percent of the time that a player tests positive is he really positive? Question clear?
Yeah, but I don't know the answer to that.
Well, you got to guess. I know the answer. That's why I'm asking the question.
So if a player tests positive, what percentage is it that he really is positive? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to say
humor me.
90%.
Okay. John?
I'll say 50%.
And John hit it on the nose. Did you know it or guess it?
I thought it through.
Yeah, so go ahead and you explain it then. Because you're right. You're exactly right.
Well,
I didn't think
I might ruin it by explaining it. I could be way off. I might have just fell into the right answer. But I'll say this. You said that 1% out of 100 would say test positive, and then there is a 1% false positive rate. So to me, that would be there is a 50% chance that the positive test was false.
That's pretty much it. So just think of 100 players. On average, one would be positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Truly positive. And on average, one would test false positive. So you test 100, you're going to get two positives. One's true, one's false. So 50% of the time that somebody tests positive, they're going to be really positive. I haven't seen anything in any of the sports. And what made me think of it was the governor of Ohio, you know, tested positive and negative.
Right.
So that has implication. And that, by the way, I left out one big assumption. That assumes you test people that are asymptomatic. That's not a true calculation if people, you know, have symptoms. Obviously, if you have symptoms, it's a lot higher that you are positive, right? But if you're just going to test people routinely, even a 99% false positive rate of a test can lead to numerically a whole bunch of false positives among the positives. So anyway, some people will test people twice or three times if they get a positive, but I haven't seen anybody come out with a rule or a statement as far as the SEC or NCAA about what they're going to do on that. But and you can use that on the Sports Fix at 6 if you want to.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But the thing about the SEC with the false positive stuff, so let's say you play on a Saturday from one Saturday to the next, so you test on Sunday, and I guess if you have a positive, you're going to test again on Wednesday, but if you have a positive, I guess you're going to retest to see if it's a false positive? I don't know how quickly
I would.
You do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, in right now, if you or I test positive, I mean – we're probably not going to do much different, right? I'm sitting here right now grading tests and teaching on the internet, you know, and you're someplace, you know, by yourself. But if you've got athletes, so now the false positive is a little more costly, if you will, right? And so I would, yeah, I would assume they'd have some sort of, I mean, and I think you got to agree to the protocol, right? You can't just say, well, you know, Tennessee, hey, we got this statistician who calls Sports Talk and he told us to test twice and the second one's negative. So, you know, we're playing, right? you gotta have an agreement. But is the schedule out yet? Have they announced the schedule?
I have not seen it.
I have not.
I hadn't heard it. All right. Take care, guys. We'll talk to you later. That's today's fun fact.
Alan, always appreciate it. Thank you so much for all the statistical information and probabilities and possibilities.
Somewhat in my defense, I was testing the SEC office to find out if the schedule was coming out, so I did not grasp everything he said.
Aha!
But you listened, and I was texting. So, sorry about that.
No worries. Why don't we go ahead and get a break? When we return, we'll catch up with Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps. Sports Talk today is in Alcoa. We're at Food City, 121 North Hall Road. Come find out the key word for today's registration. Text in that key word to 68683 before 7 o'clock, and you could be one of two finalists for the Big Ticket 2020 as presented by Food City. We give away the grand prize next week. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
50 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, where we're pleased to be joined by Jesse Smithy of FiveStarPreps.com. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well, John. How about you guys?
Doing quite well. And we'll just start. There's so much, plenty to talk about in regards to prep sports, but what do you think and how excited are you for the first major taking place as we speak with a PGA Championship?
Well, I wish I could watch it. Since everything's getting ramped up with football, we're doing our best to get out of the house finally and get out on the football fields and seeing some of this talent. We're not able to watch scrimmages or 7-on-7, so we're having to get to as many just practices as possible. So right now I'm a few minutes away from Powell High School. We're going to see Matt Lowe and the Panthers and see what they are going to look like for the 2020 season. So I'm following the PGA Championship on my phone. It's very odd that it's the first major of the year, so to speak, or the first one being played, and no open championship will be had this year, but it's just good to have live sports to be able to go to, and we're all kind of stuck in the house for so long. So I'll take the bits and pieces that I get tonight since it's out on the West Coast and appreciate that.
And are you excited for prime time golf viewing?
It is, and you don't get much. We've had a couple of things that they kind of cobbled together during the quarantine that put it on at opportune times for everybody to watch. So I actually like it when it's out on the West Coast, especially on weekdays where I can go about my work day and get things done and then come home and enjoy a little dinner and watch some championship golf.
And as far as getting out to the practice field and seeing teams go through their paces, what is it like knowing that we're just a couple of weeks away from the season?
Well, for media, and I think for media and coaches alike, it's a little unnerving. We're trying our best to scramble and get as much preview information as we can out and get stories done and videos done. And I'm sure coaches are trying to install parts of their offense that maybe they weren't able to do or to run plays they weren't able to really run during spring practice or summer ball or 7-on-7. So, yeah, we feel like we're going 100 miles an hour. It's still a good feeling. It's stuff that we love to do, but it's fast. It's fast approaching, and it's going to be interesting to see if how these coaches approach things offensively. Are they going to come into week one with a scaled back playbook and just really kind of keep it simple or are these teams that return a lot of starters, are they really going to try to open it up a little bit and really show that they have the experience edge and put that into play? So there are a lot of factors that we're thinking about and talking about as a staff and with these coaches.
Jesse, have you seen anything that would make you pessimistic that the high school football season will start on time?
No, even though there's a bout of COVID going around in Upper East Tennessee, and I know Carter County came out and said that they're going to suspend athletics up there for a little bit, and that's your Unakas and Hancock counties, I believe, or not Hancock County, but Cloudland and places like that. And so Gatlinburg-Pittman plays one of those teams from Carter County in week one, so they're likely going to lose that game. And, of course, word got out earlier this week that Greenville was having to cancel its week one game with Powell because of a recent breakout with COVID and from a few players. And so we're going to lose games here and there. I think that's just an inevitability. We've all come to terms with that, and we know how to approach that. The scary thing is if the numbers just spike drastically in, say, a bigger county like Knox County or Davidson County, Shelby County, Hamilton, and we'll see what happens then. If there's widespread closures of school and shutting down an athletic program and the season becomes a shell of itself, so to speak, will somebody intervene and say, this is not football. We need to stop and not go forward. And I've said this on y'all's show before, I don't want to crown champions and then have it be an asterisk or an asterisk beside their names because such and such schools weren't able to play. Your championship is never going to be seen as valid in the public eye. I don't want that. Even though I want these kids to have a season and I want the championship to happen, I want them to be legit and to mean something. And you got to wonder, would these kids be okay with that if they didn't have to, again, hypothetically, what if Alcoa and Maryville aren't in the playoffs because of COVID? I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah. Are people going to, or Whitehaven in Shelby County, are people going to accept these championships? Or are they always going to be, well, so-and-so didn't get to play because of COVID? I just hope we never get that to that point or have to have those conversations.
There have been a number of coaching changes in this area, whether it's Carter or Central, Austin East, Clinton, Greenville, Pigeon Forge, et cetera. Do you see one situation? Do you think there's a coach that's inherited a better situation than most of the other coaches out there?
Well, you talk about Craney up at Central High School, and I've got a video that I'm going to roll out very soon on social media, just kind of leftovers from Media Day, and I asked him about that. Like, this is really a tough time for you to come in and start your first ever head coaching gig. But he's been there for so long, Jimmy. It's not like he doesn't know the kids. It's not like he doesn't know the system. And he has his way of doing things. He knows what was successful under Bryson Rosser, and he can keep those good things and also put his own fingerprints on the program. So guys like him are going to do well. Eddie Spradlin, who's up at Greenville, he's been up there for over a decade as part of that program and recently as the defensive coordinator. So he knows how things work up at Greenville. Antonio Mays at Austin East, even though this is kind of his first kind of go-around as a head coach, he's been there. So guys like that who aren't coming in fresh and new, it's going to be a little bit easier. Now, for a Justin Presley, who comes into Carter High School, and he's been in Upper East Tennessee, and it might be a little bit difficult for him. I think he's done a good job of trying to get to know his players and put together his staff and try to get things into place, but he's probably got a longer road to hoe than some of these other names that I've mentioned.
Our guest, Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps, as he joins us on the Stanley Fenching and Gates hotline. Here's a curveball for you. If somebody were looking for a neat trucker's cap that had a neat shield logo with Five Star Preps, where could they find one, or have they all disappeared?
They're almost all gone. I think we might have one left. I'd have to check my list. I'm kind of writing them down as orders come in. But if you're interested, they can throw an email to us at fivestarpreps@gmail.com and try to reserve one. I'll do my best to hold on to it. But we posted those last night, and they're gone. They're gone pretty fast. So, but somebody can try to get one, and I'll do my best to hold on to it for them.
Well, certainly hope. I guess, are you clearing out the warehouse so you can get a whole new truckload?
Well, maybe. We had a promotion back late in the spring that if you know anybody wanted to sign up for a year subscription, we'd give them a free hat, and so we were getting those mailed out to people, and we ordered a few extra, and so we were just putting the extra out there for sale. But we'll have some shirts and some hoodies and everything this fall, so this isn't going to be the last chance for people to grab some five-star prep gear.
As you highlighted, some of the coaches that are taking over and have a brand new opportunity in front of them and coach their team for the first season this fall, you guys also this week updated the top 25 prospects for the class of 2021, didn't you?
We did, and there have been so many rising seniors, and I guess technically now they're seniors, you don't have to say rising anymore, that have gotten offers, big-time offers. Maybe they recently committed. Bryce Goodner is a 6'3", 300-pound offensive lineman. Down in McMinn County, and he'd had over 20 offers, and that first real big marquee name school came in about a week ago in Virginia Tech and offered Bryce, and he snatched up that offer and committed this week. He's been our number four player all along in our rankings, and he remains the number four, and he was the Region 2 6A lineman last year. He was All-State. He was all five-star preps. We really like his ability. Probably going to be a guard or a center on the next level, but just a lot of tenacity, a lot of agility and ability with Bryce Goodner. And there's so many others who have committed since, the Fortners that are in there. And we got a couple of newcomers in the top 25 as well. We can't see all these kids all the time. There's 60-some-odd schools in our coverage area, and we might miss one or two. And somebody sent us a huddle film on a young man, and we watched it, and we talked around with some people, and he's now in our top 25. So It's a never-changing list. We'll keep updating it as we get closer to National Signing Day.
Jesse, have we seen many schedule changes in football with maybe one county having particular rules, another county changing rules? You mentioned Greenville earlier. Have we seen many schedule changes with football so far?
We've seen a few, and I'll probably talk with Matt Lowe today about what's happened with Greenville and how he's maybe trying to fill that spot. Do they want to fill that spot? Remember, if your opponent can't play, you get an easy win. And I know they want, I know they maybe want to bring in a team that can play at Powell and get some gate. That's a possibility. So we're seeing things change here and there. I've seen more in the mid-state and West Tennessee with some of the Davidson County schools kind of possibly shutting down, private schools kind of holding out for a little bit. I've seen a lot over there. And, of course, I mentioned Gatlinburg-Pittman possibly losing their first game. So right now here, it's not rampant. You're starting to see little sprinkles of it here and there. But it's just something we'll have to keep an eye on. I mean, Catholic is now playing a team out of Texas, Trinity Christian, I believe, that has Deion Sanders' son. And Deion Sanders is, I think, offensive coordinator there. So they picked them up for the second week of the season, and I think originally they were playing a team from Kentucky, I think, maybe. Is that right, John? The second week of the season for Catholics?
Yes.
But now they're playing a high-profile team out of Texas, and so there can be some good things and some upgrades out of this.
Is that Texas team, is that game going to be in prime time?
I think it might be. I think there's a good chance it gets televised somewhere. I think talks are still being had about that, but nothing official that can be released just yet. But it could be very much so in prime time, oddly enough, ironically enough.
Would you expect that Maryville and Alcoa will once again be very strong?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen them in the preseason. Of course, Alcoa won their fifth championship in a row last year in 3A. They returned essentially their entire defense from a year ago. And offensively, yeah, they're breaking in a new quarterback, but a quarterback who's been there. And there's one of the guys that's been there, and Zach Lunsford, who's a sophomore. And, of course, there's two transfer quarterbacks that are trying to learn the ropes. But Gary Rankin never is going to let his quarterback get them beat. So he's never going to put the weight of the offense on one person's shoulders. And he shouldn't, because they have so many wide receivers out there, so many running backs, great offensive linemen. It's just a well-oiled machine offensively at Alcoa, and I got to see them earlier this week, and they're just so deep at the skill position that you know they're going to be there late in the season in 3A. And for Maryville, we've talked about it. They lost 17 starters. They lost 30 seniors, but just having talked with some people out there that have seen them in inter-squad scrimmages, this defense could be possibly even better than it was a year ago, and that defense last year was legit. And so Maryville's going to be good defensively, it seems, again this year. Got some newcomers out on the perimeter that have a chance to be really good and make it to the college level, and then they return a running back who rushed for 1,200 yards. So pieces are in place again at Alcoa and Maryville for them to make deep runs.
Jesse, as you've talked about, with what we've seen in terms of the changes, that there is no 7-on-7, there aren't going to be jamborees. How are school systems, or have you heard what they're trying to do in terms of fundraising to offset the cost of physicals and insurance and different things like that that normally get taken care of when you do have what is the normal preseason buildup to the year?
Yeah, I mean, some are going to take hits, obviously, at the gate for big games, but there's still money to be made at the gate. What's going to happen is some of these schools that, like you mentioned, may have let the band or the band team parents run the concession stands, and that money, those funds that they raise there can be put to fill in the blank. Well, they're going to have to get creative and come up with some other way. And I mentioned this on Twitter a couple weeks back before this decision was even made about capacity being reduced. There's going to be a lot of local businesses in these communities that have to step up and help negate some of the losses and money that these schools are going to incur this year. And I encourage those community businesses, whoever they may be, to try to find a way to scrap together some extra money, and not just for football, but for baseball and softball. And when these teams make deep runs and have to go to a state championship, in regardless of sport, the money that they spend just racks up so fast. And if they don't have those funds from the gate or whatever to rely on to pay for things like that, it can get very quick financially. So, like you mentioned, John, there's going to have to be creative ways. I haven't seen anything just put into place just yet, but I'm sure we will.
And we're getting ready to talk with Eddie Courtney at the top of the hour, with hour number two. What are your thoughts on the Admirals, and where do they stand going into this season?
Well, they're one of the teams that are going to have to replace a great quarterback, and Gavin Wilkinson was a great quarterback for them the past 2 years. And one thing you can always count on with Farragut is them being sound defensively, and I think Eddie Courtney takes a lot of pride in that. And they have one of the better linebackers in the area, and Eli Purcell, who's gotten offers from Furman and Wofford in the last week or so, and so he's one of those next-level talents that they have. And offensively, they're going to have to show some things at the skill position, and they got some tough games early on in the season. I think they got Bradley Central early on, and Bradley Central is a team that's got some FBS talent. So we'll know more, I think, with Farragut in, say, week three or week four. Again, they're one of those programs that probably needed those scrimmages to really feel confident in some of their newcomers out there on offense. So we might see them make a bigger jump in level of play and quality of play after 2 or 3 weeks, maybe.
And while understandably the focus, so much attention is being focused on football and the build-up to the season, but you guys have got previews of other sports that are about to get underway. Volleyball is something you guys previewed this week, correct?
Yeah, we did volleyball, we did golf, we did cross-country, and all of those are still available on the site, and they are in-depth previews. It's not just a few names on a list. I mean, we're going deep into the teams and talking about these players and these coaching changes in different sports, and we'll have our girls' soccer preview coming out probably early to middle next week, and Dave Link is doing that, and he's done such a great job on some of these other previews that he's done, and talking with coaches around the area to really get a grasp of what's going to be available talent-wise and team-wise for runs this year in the postseason.
Jesse, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And, of course, tell folks again where they can follow your work.
Yeah, 5starpreps.com. You can type out the number 5. You can just put the number 5. It'll take you right to the website, and on social media as well, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all of that.
Enjoy as much as you can of the PGA Championship, and Jesse, we'll catch up next week.
All right, thanks, John. Thanks, Jimmy. We'll do it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk today at Food City in Alcoa, 121 North Hall Road. It's part of the Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City. Come by, find the keyword, which is set up very easy for you to find. Text that word in to 68683. You have to have it in before 7 o'clock, and you could be one of two finalists from today's registration. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Here at The Sports Animal, we never really grew up. We just learn how to act in public, most of the time.
Final segment to this first hour of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And Jimmy, they play in the second period. And Nashville, which trailed 2-0, has pulled even with Arizona. So the Preds and the Coyotes tied at 2. It's a must-win for the Predators if they hope to stay alive with a chance to advance on through in the playoffs.
Yep, we'll see if they can get the win. Also, I got a kick out of what Will Muschamp said to Paul Feinbaum. Did you see that?
I sure did.
He was doing an interview with him, and he said, talking about Paul, he said, "I look back to your high school days and your college days. I couldn't imagine you had many dates. That's how our guys need to live their lives right now. They need to live their lives like Paul Feinbaum did in college. Boring is good right now. Boring is very good." He also said that he is driven by 5 points, a popular hangout in Columbia, South Carolina. He said that there are at least 10,000 students that are already back on campus, and they have flooded 5 points with no social distancing. Not very smart.
No. And it's got to be frustrating because it would be very difficult to expect all of your student-athletes to stay in line.
Yep, and the more outbreaks we have on campuses and in communities, the less chance we have for college football. I just hope people keep that in mind.
Yes, and the SEC today, as you talked about earlier with news and notes, they set out exactly what their approach is going to be and what teams will have to, or schools will have to do if indeed there are positives, what coaches have to do on the sidelines at all times during games. It a pretty extensive release, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, and I think that they make sense. It's still going to be hard to contain this thing, but I think the more precautions you take, at least the better chance you have of curbing the number of positive tests we have out there, even though 50% of them might be false positives or false negatives.
Which we also learned this hour. But yeah. But this hour is in the rearview mirror because it'll be time to move up to hour number two. That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Today I'm at Food City, 121 North Hall Road in Alcoa. You can come by as part of the Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City and our friends, of course, at Body Armor, and find out what the keyword is to text in. You text in that word to 68683. And you could be one of the two finalists from today's registration. We give away the grand prize next week. Hour number two of Sports Talk is right around the corner, and it starts with Farragut football coach Eddie Courtney. That's next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.